So you're very welcome. There's a page being passed around in proper teacher format, take one, pass one on. So apologies if by the end there's none left. It's not as riveting a page anyway. My name's Ryan. I am a teacher in Larne Grammar School. I have been teaching for 15 years. I teach technology and design. I have been involved in SU probably for the last 9 to 10 years. I was actually saved while I was a teacher in school by the witness of some Christian staff and some Christian pupils. So what I'd say to you, particularly if you are in senior school, teachers watch how you conduct yourself, and they are making their judgment on Christianity not based on what they've already preconceived ideas of, but what they see in front of them in the classroom. And I'm one of those testaments to that. So over this year, have some teacher in your head. I was talking about the impossible one, that one teacher who drives you mad, but actually they could be that person that's your witness. Could be someone like me who then is involved in SU. So if you're in the right place, we are looking at this idea of small groups, cell groups, home groups, whatever you have called it, whatever you want to call it. We're going to pray, and then we'll get started. So that's right. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so interested in the lives of your people. And Lord, we ask you now just to use me as an empty vessel to communicate to the young people here of your love for them and your love for them getting together and to delve into your word and to grow deeper in relationship with you. So Father, just as we pick apart what a small group is and what it looks like and all of those things, will you just guide my thoughts and my lips? And Father, anything that is of you, will it help just resonate to their very souls and something that they carry away from here? But God, if there's something that is of me, strip it away and let it be forgotten as soon as it is spoken. So God, we thank you for this time. We just ask you now, Holy Spirit, to be amongst us all, to bring unity and clarity. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to call it home group, because that's kind of Willis' birth in me. I love home group. I love small groups, cell groups, whatever it is that you have. And it is one of the highlights of my week. In fact, I have two children, Caleb and Rebecca. Caleb is 8 next month, and Rebecca is 5. And they genuinely cry whenever we tell them there's no home group in our home on a Thursday night with church. It's kind of double-edged because they get to stay up a wee bit later. They get the chocolate biscuits when they're meant to be asleep and all of that. But they love it. My son stays down for the video part and he tries to play his part by answering some of the questions, and then he gets to go up to bed after. It is beautiful. And I absolutely encourage you just to get involved in something in church or in school. And I'm also thinking about those of you who are going to be moving on outside of school next year, go to university, apprenticeships, whatever it is your dreams and aspirations are, to get involved in something like a small group. And if there isn't one, well, the tips and hints here are as much for you this year as they are for next year and the year after that.
Why? It says in Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25, and let us all consider how to stir up one another to love and to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
For me, it is a time when we get to delve really deep into our Christian faith. It's whenever I get to be really open and honest and vulnerable, and it is whenever I can be held accountable by my close friends. I know one is at Methody because he's in my small group. Is anyone else at Methody? you have stolen one of my best buddies, the guy that would have held me accountable, Mr. Lou, who's head of PE this year, and the two of us, he would have been my guy that I would have gone to, and he was the same with me if we were struggling. And that's where we want to delve into this today as well. You have a page in front of you. Use it at your will. If you're sitting with somebody in your school or friendship group, I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes. You kind of use this page twice if you want. Just to brainstorm for the first couple of minutes as to what you think this is all about. What do you think a small group is? You can see that the five W's. Don't worry about the how bit yet. This is a typical technology teacher thing to do. Before we start anything, we have our W5. So I'm stealing it from there. But it is exactly the same here. We've got to realise, why are you here? Why do you want to know more about small groups? And why do you want to take that back into your school? And we'll look at flesh out some of the more technical stuff about when and where. You can do that in your little groups as well. So for a couple of minutes, have a think at the main, why a small group? What is it that has drawn you to this that you want to look at? You can discuss it with a couple of people. I kind of put a wee timer on to make sure we're not running over. Also, the who, because I think that's going to define the why as well. Is it personally for you and a couple of your friends, or is it something bigger than that? And that kind of is your what. The what, just be mindful that our youth group in our own church, we're given the freedom to come up with their own name for their youth. So the Christian things are like Strive and whatever words it might be, you can think of them. They're called the Cheesy Nachos because their tagline is Nacho Ordinary Youth Group, and it's so cheesy. But they absolutely love it, and they start every youth group with Cheesy Nachos. And it's on our banner in our church. But I get it. Anyway, there you go. The what can be up to you if it's a label, but have a couple of minutes and have a think, particularly the who, the why, and the what. Right. I know the conversation is flowing. However, conscious of time and getting through everything and whatever else, we'll continue to fill that in as we go along. For some of you, you may have never been part of a small group other than what we call small group here. I see small group as something more than those 15 minutes we're getting at the end of a session in the main hall over this weekend. I see it as something that is meeting regularly.
And we'll come back to a few more parts as we go along. But for me, the why can be broken down into a few main points. In Matthew, it says, Matthew 18, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. So for me, if you want to, in a group, just a group of people, to know that God is there, well, Matthew's telling you that it doesn't have to be a big group of people. It doesn't have to be anything other than a couple of you just meeting in your teacher's classroom at break time, lunchtime, after school, and someone's home. I'm not going to prescribe where the where is and when the when is, because that's going to be really different for you. Our SU at the minute in school, it happens at lunchtime, and randomly our periods are 32 and a half minutes long. And since I was off last year for surgery, since then they've knocked another 9 1/4 minutes off our timetable. It is absolute chaos. There are two bells, one you get up off your seat and one anyway. It leaves our SU split with only a 15 minute window for SU. Like that's no time at all to get to do anything. And you might only be getting into a conversation and then the bell goes. Just like over the last couple of sessions in the main hall this weekend, you're just getting into the flow of things and then Phil's then have to pack up. So be careful about when is, because you don't want to run out of time, you don't want to rush it. But we'll come back to the how in a minute. The second one, to me, it's, apologies that it's getting squished. You can see, I don't know what's happened this slide, but anyway, we'll work with it. It's to study and to draw out, that is cut off something, to study, would draw you into the Bible so you can speak to you through his scripture. And I think that's an important part of small group, is that it is a study and it is delving into his word. It is not just meeting as friends. We do that really well. We do that outside of school. This is different. This is set inside a time, not even an SU. We define what SU is. I see small group as a special time where you know God is going to be there, because there's two or three of you gathered and you're there to study. So there's the formalities and icebreakers and whatever else, but we're created for deep relationships with God and with others. I personally need a close group of friends to support me and to encourage me, and a big one for particularly for guys. I know I'm speaking for guys because I am one. Be accountable. Girls, you'll know yourself what that means for you, but I know what that means for me. Mr. Lowe, who's now head of PE, he's the guy that we would have known when we mess up and slip up in something, in a conversation, rubbing shoulders with each other. I knew he was non-judgmental. I knew he would tell me straight whenever I was messing up. And I knew he would keep it private. And I knew in a couple of guys that if I was able to speak in my home or in school, that I could talk to them without that feeling that's going to turn into gossip. And I think that's incredibly important to part of small group. I read this, and this is coming from a website I'll show you later on called Small Groups. A travel agent and the difference between a travel agent and a travel guide. One makes reservations and sets you up to take the trip, while the other is alongside you on the trip. Which would you prefer when you're navigating on chartered waters? So which of the in this group do you want to be involved in? Do you want, in a small group of people, someone that is going to navigate you, somebody who's going to see you through those storms? Or do you just want somebody at the front teaching you what it is you should do and then having to work your way through that? I think that small groups are incredibly, incredibly important as we go along. So,
hands up how many people are actually involved in a small group so far of some sort. About half of you-ish. I've got a couple of hands, definitely. I've got a couple of hands in a way. Get involved. If it's at the first point, just if there's something in your church, if there's not something in your church, pester someone to get something involved in your church, in your school. We'll come back to that in a minute about not doing it alone. But this is how I see a small group working. Starting off with some sort of icebreaker. And then maybe, particularly judging on the group that you have, being able to say to them, look, this is what our topic is today. Look out for these verses. Maybe even preempt what the verses are. I don't know about you, but there are times that people get really, really paranoid about trying to find the book of the Bible in front of somebody else in case it feels like they're not a good enough Christian that they can't find the book of the Bible quick enough. So sometimes for somebody who's a new Christian, who's eager to learn more and is part of your group, telling them the scripture references, where they're going to be, even a page number, and maybe preempting them with preloaded questions that they can look out for. In the text, we're going to be looking for the whatevers. And they can kind of have that. And that might be their one question that they answer. The rest of the time, they sit back. But for me, that's something that's really important and has been really useful. Same thing. I think it's important to have a Bible passage. It is a study. And we'll come back to, again, what that looks like in a little bit more. You're going to have some sort of discussion time, question time, looking at reading of the Bible passage, maybe coming back to it and forward to it. But this is these are just a few things that I'm looking at. That there has to be a point at which you're saying, like, we're going to dig deep here. It's going to get a wee bit heavy. We're going to open up a few ideas. But I think for small group, that's important. I think you're being clear and defined that. Have your icebreakers, have your tea and coffee, and you're kind of cranking it up as you go. And I think it's important to conclude. I think it is important to have a last word, and that is normally from the leader. There has to be a point where you're looking at your watch going, right, okay, it's 9:45 now, it's time to go. I'm going to wrap up, even though conversation is flowing. And it's how to then just break that off and maybe say, look, I'm really enjoying the conversation. We're going to pick that up next week. Or, it would be lovely to meet for coffee and we'll chat about that again. But there has to be a point where you wrap it up. So I think those bits with prayer at the end is kind of, to me, a useful format for a small group. It's not the only one. Some people like to have some worship in there. Some people like just to have background music playing. And it's these parts that actually in your small group will engage people to get them to come along because you've maybe told them, could you bring the biscuits this week? Could you pick a couple of songs to play in the background? Maybe telling somebody, like, would you mind closing in prayer at the end a week in advance? And then they might have it written down. And in fact, in our own home group, one of the girls... I told her the next week I'm going to get her to pray. Petrified her for 2 weeks to the point where she nearly didn't come back. She was a grown woman. And then she wrote it out. I said, look, write it out. Nobody will know. Everyone's eyes are closed. And it was the thing that broke the ice with her. And, she's a prayer warrior now. There's no stopping her. And it's getting over that hurdle of being able to pray in a group. So maybe encourage somebody. Look at prayer as one thing. So where are we? We're at the how. Yeah. I would tend to say don't rush. So I have a couple of notes written down outside of this as well. Don't rush. I think the format doesn't have to be exactly that. Particularly on a Bible passage, you might only get two lines of a verse done and you get stuck on maybe one line, one word. I think that's okay. there's nobody telling you that you have to conquer the Bible in your small group in a year, unless that's the challenge you're setting yourselves. But as Ricky said this morning, that actually having a tick box exercise for just simply reading your Bible is so different to, you know, organically wanting to learn the Bible, memorize the Bible. So what I would say is don't rush. And that's the biggest advice I've made from myself as we set up our home group 5-6 years ago. The guy that took it was a guy called Chris. And for week on week, we picked apart one verse. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to take forever. But it was amazing. And it's really refreshing to slow down. Whenever in school you're told to, you know, get through a whole syllabus. There's no guidelines here as to how long you need to take on one thing.
So for me, those are that's kind of a package of what I have seen happen. And
into some top tips. In no particular order, but there is for the last one. I think this is really important. First of all, I think you shouldn't be doing it alone. If you have the burden to want to get involved in a small group, maybe if you're the only one, then try to see if there's a small group that you can invite yourself into. But if there's more than you, try and co-lead it. Take it half each. Say, look, I'll take it this week, or have a wee meeting for a couple of weeks. Don't rush into actually starting the cell group or a small group. But I think actually bouncing the ideas off each other is really important, particularly when you get to content. I think that's exactly where you need to be. Because you could sit and you could rush and say, right, we're going to start a home group next, or a small group in school next week. We're going to gather everyone together, and you sit down, and all you have is a group of people who are having a wee chat. Actually, get together with one other person, say, right, we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. So let's plan it for a couple of weeks. Let's get material together. Let's get the word out there and work from there. I think it's important that you're not solely dependent, or people are not dependent completely on you. Because if you do this right, people will wait after small group and want to chat to you, and you could have a queue, or you could have text messages late at night. I think it's good to be accountable by a couple of others. I don't know whether so. I've written this down. Maybe you could actually link together with another school. This is me being really geeky, but how about getting like a Google Classroom thing set up, or a group, or a Facebook page. That you can actually start to do something between schools or a geographical area where you live. I think it's mostly to start to keep yourself accountable in leadership
as much as anything. I think it's really important that you do start simply.
I think there's nothing worse than trying to be all things, all everything to everyone at the very start. If you start off, which I'm a perfectionist, I want to be the best that I can, but that's hard to maintain, particularly as you're finding your feet and every group is different and every dynamic is different and every school is different and every content that you're going to study is different. Starting simply. And this is a wee tagline that came through last night. Do you want it to be organically grown or strategically planted? Do you want it to be organically grown or strategically planted? What I mean by that?
Organically grown is you and your bestie
deciding that you're going to meet together and pray, and you're going to follow a Bible plan from the Bible app, and you're going to meet up once a week to kind of discuss it, or you're on the UCB word for the word today, and you're going to pick a Thursday after school, and the two of you just have a desire to mature in your faith, mature and dig deeper in the Bible, because, you know, next year is a really important year. You want to be deep rooted in what you know, and you're being challenged on your faith and you want to just to be stronger for the challenges that come. So for me, organically growing is you and a couple of people knocking the door of your teacher and saying, do you mind if we use your classroom for a lunchtime? We will not mess it up. We'll keep the door open if we have to, or whatever it needs to be. And it's you having a desire, and this other person, because you're not doing it alone, I've decided just to meet, pray, and go through your Bible outside of SU. Or have you strategically planted, or is this something that you're wanting to deep root into the network of SU and within the school? So what you're going to do is you've got a small group that's already there, and you're thinking, well, it would be great if I go and take a group of guys and you take a group of girls. I'm going to take someone in lower sixth and someone upper sixth, and you're strategically looking at specific age groups or genders or issues, and it's not just a group of friends meeting to have a chat. So you have to work that out. You have to kind of pray about that. Ask for Holy Spirit to give you wisdom on direction as what that should be. But I think that's really important for your next step. Do you want it to be organically grown, or do you want it to be strategically planted? And I think it depends where you are. For me, SU, as I said, is not a time to get really deep in conversation. We're a school of 700, so our SU is junior and SU, senior together for most of the time. So it's always surface. So ours will be strategically planted as we go. I think you should start small, but I think you should be organised. I think it's good for you to pick a day, nail it down, and say, we're going to do it on this day. So you've got you and your buddy are going to do this. You've decided it's going to be you and them and one other person. Keep it really tight. And you're going to, we'll look at material in a minute, or strategically planted. You're going to have one for seniors, and it's going to be on Thursday lunchtime. But I think you stick to that. You nail down time. You be consistent, and you work out your frequency. I don't think small room needs to be every week. Ours is every 2 weeks. And it's consistently the second and the fourth Thursday of every month. And that might sound random, but it gives you consistency. People can put it in their diaries. We use Google Calendar and just set it up. And then they download the link to their phone, and they'll see home group. It'll be just in there every other Thursday. If you say every other Thursday, it kind of goes out of sync. That's kind of my understanding of it. So if you go second and fourth, there's always four Thursdays. If there's a fifth, well, it's a week off, and that's where it gets out of sync. I think it's really important that you do your homework. Not your homework, but homework's really important, but actually your content homework. And know what it is what you're talking on. Read up on it beforehand. Don't just cram it in the night before. And then when it gets to the questions, you're like, I actually don't know the answer myself. And if you don't, then you can be prepared to kind of miss that question out. And move on, because there's nothing worse than none of you knowing the answer at that point and getting stuck. So be prepared. Content, which we'll look at in another slide, is important. But I think it's important that you define its purpose, which is your why. And I think everybody's why is going to be different. I think it's going to be generically the same, but I think there's going to be specific differences within that. You need to define what it is, not just to yourself for setting it up, but you need to be clear to the people that are there. One of the dangers of small group is you're going to have different denominations, slightly different understandings of your belief, slightly different gripes about different teachers and about different things that's going on in your church or not going on in your church, the music that's going on in your church or not. And it's a breeding ground for negativity. And it's something at the very, very start of our home group, at the start of the year, I sit there and say, look, this is not a time for us to gossip. It is not a time for us to bring our negativity or whatever else to the table. And so it's not constructive. And we then define what it is. So be clear as to what the group is for. It is not simply a wee catch-up, a morning session, or even a political springboard. So just be mindful of what that might be. And then your why with that is that you're going to dig deep into your Bible. You're going to build your relationship with God, and you're going to be accountable to one another in your walk. I think those things are really important, particularly if you've got someone coming along and they start to just to have a wee moan, and you say, like, mind not that you have a chat with me afterwards, but we're going to move on because this isn't the right place to bring that up.
Gauge the group and choose your content accordingly.
You will know
very quickly
the level of faith level, if there's such a barometer of your group. You'll know from the group the kind of challenges by where they are in life, and if they're a good friend, or if this is a strategically planted one, then you might know them as intimately as others. So you kind of are gauging their lifestyle. Do they come to SU? Are they only started to come to SU? Do you know a little bit about them? And therefore, what kind of content are you going to deliver for that? Because if you have somebody who is new to their faith, and you're saying, right, we're going to delve into here, and you're quickly firing across to this scripture reference, and then you're over to this one, you're going to lose them. And they're not going to come back. Now, you might end up having two little cell groups, one for you and your friends that's for you, and then you're the leader of this one. And you're strategically planted to help out those new Christians, like an alpha course type thing. So be mindful of your audience and the content that you pick. A couple of suggestions for you, for those who are maybe it's a new group, it's a new faith type group. Christianity Explored has a great resource. It's free. All the material is there. The videos are there. And it's something that you could probably use and adapt to whatever it is you need. Consider even like the Youth Alpha course and running something like that as a small group. It works as a small group as much as it does as something else within SU. Those are ones that are good for the beginning Bible, the beginning Christian journey ones, as well as 24/7. We've heard it about three or four times over the last couple of days. Google 24/7 prayer course. I did it myself last year. It's brilliant. I really like it because there's a video with it, and there are free resources with all the leader pack, and there's the participants pack there, so you can have your answers as well as the questions. Those kind of ones are really, really useful. And then you can pick that apart. So know your audience, gauge it, and choose content accordingly. One that's useful for, you can put in a theme or whatever it might be, is smallgroups.com. Some of them are free. You sign up for free, and then you will find some of the content on there is free. But what I would say to you is, from my own experience, don't just pick the free stuff. And I think that's the danger of going, right, that's free, that'll do. And you're halfway through just going, oh, we're knees deep in this study, it is really not relevant. So it might cost you something, chipping a few pounds. They're never more than $10 if it's an American site. And here's another one to bring back to your churches. Speak to me afterwards if you want a wee bit more information. It's called Right Now Media, all one word. It's the Netflix of Bible studies. It is absolutely amazing. if you've got a phone, tablet, computer, Apple TV, there's an app on there, it's like Netflix, and you select Francis Chan, and all the stuff's ready to stream. It's a monthly subscription, but your church buys it and then gives it out for free, and it's just like sharing the gospel. Once you've got it, you can then share it for free. So if anyone would like me to share that for free, see, speak to me afterwards. It's amazing. It's a fantastic resource. And then you buy the leader pack after that, and it's no more than $6. So Francis Chan stuff's all on there. Crazy Love, for example. We're looking at Colossians in church at the minute with Louis Giglio, or whatever you call him. Again, it's an amazing resource. So some people, that's maybe why you're here. You want to actually find out where you're getting material from, good material. Well, I'll show you, and wait for 5 minutes then, and I'll show you where to get that stuff. But content is so important. I spend a good 2 months picking out material, and then buying it, and then doing the study myself, and then realising halfway through it's not good enough, or it's not right, and then I shelve it. And I just put it in the folder, said for later. And I go from there. So don't go for the first one. Don't go for the free stuff necessarily, other than 24/7 and Christian Explored and Alpha. They're tried and tested. Other stuff are not always just as useful. Here's the teacher in me. A good question. Does anyone know what the two different types of questions are, except if you're a teacher in the room? Good answer. What are the two different? Yeah. Oh, fantastic. An open question is what?
Well, not a wise response, but just yes
and no. Absolutely. And then a closed is simply yes and no. There will be times in your small group that you will want a yes and no, particularly if you've gauged a group of people that that are quiet. And you're not getting a huge response from them, and you're just talking. Just break it right down to a simply yes or no answer, and getting someone to speak is better than nothing. But then you get a question. I'm going to put it up on the board at the minute in a second. This is one from our home group on Thursday past, and we didn't get past this for about 40 minutes, and it was only the second question into a 3-page study. The closed question, it was simply be something like, do you think it's important to grow in your faith? And the answer is yes. And then you move on. But this question is different. And I want you to spend just a couple of minutes in a little small group of people and answer this question and see how far you get in just a few moments. As an open-ended question of the same thing. If you had to pick faith, love, or hope to work on, which one would you pick? Why? And what might it look like to improve in that area? And this was taken from Colossians, a question on one of the first verses in Colossians, and that's nearly as far as we got. So have a chat for a couple of minutes.
I have a few more questions.
I am really conscious of time, but it's more of a just an example of how you can get a conversation going from just changing the type of question. And in our home group, it wasn't really a small group, there was about 20 of us crammed into our living room. And everybody had a different reason and a different choice, and a different reason for it. Out of interest, how many people chose faith, love,
and hope?
I chose hope. And then we had a discussion as to why we had all those different things. Now, just an example of a different type of question, one that everyone can get involved in. You don't need to know a huge amount more biblical knowledge.
But through this,
this is what the dynamic of our group changed, because we now had everybody talking, and you'd normally get maybe a few people that just sit and listen, and that's fine. They enjoy it, but they don't participate just as much.
Then someone read this.
And guys, I know we're not brilliant at being vulnerable. Guys, mean as in boys in the room. But in home group, I think it's really important that you do. And the bravado bit changes. And someone was reading like this, and I was leading the group. I couldn't get to the next stage because it was like the Holy Spirit was penetrating them. And it said this: "Therefore, I, a prisoner for," this is in Ephesians 4, "for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there's one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to the glorious hope for the future." I couldn't get past the bit, always be humble, and always be patient, and allowing allowances for each other's faults. That's just whatever I was going on in my head at the time. But home group to me is where I just get to be able to be myself and be honest. And I think it's really important that you build a community. And this is a community of people who are yearning to know more from God. I want to be held accountable by their actions, by you, and in a non-judgmental, non-gossip way. And I think it's really important, if you want to build community, whenever you're given an example, you never strike people down. You never speak ill of somebody. What that does is puts a seed of doubt into someone's mind, going, if I wasn't here today, would they be speaking about me like that? So if you want to speak about somebody, you always build them up. You never speak ill about anything. And I think when I come back to set the parameters of what your small group's going to look like, I think it's important that it has that defined level, that we're not here to moan or to gossip. So to build a community, one of the first things within that is that's building up, and that you are wanting to grow in your faith and everybody around you. And simple things like try to avoid a clique. I know it's really difficult if you've got the organic home group, and you guys have been, or small group, you've been meeting now for the last couple of weeks, and somebody else from SU hears that you're meeting at lunchtime and they want to get involved. The dynamic has now shifted in your small group. You need to be embracing that somebody else wants to come in. So in that cycle of what a small group looks like, it is going to change on who is there, because that's, you know, the people that are in it. It's going to change because of the content and the studies that you're doing. And I think you need to avoid cliques. And you need to be able to involve people. Little simple things. I'm going to merge this with another slide, in two slides time, which is get to know people. Get to know them. Put in your diary their birthdays. Simple things like they've got a hockey match coming up. Send it out in the group chats. All the best to Jimmy on his, whatever match it is next week. Or how did you get on? As a leader, I think it's really important that you show that bit of love to them. And it goes further than you think it does. You can have Fat Fridays. If it's on Fridays that you're going to do this, and it's going to be a cake. And a way of building community is actually get somebody in this little group to be the person who's going to pray at the end. Somebody's going to bring the cake. Somebody's going to do the tea and coffee, bring the music. As soon as you've got people involved, they'll come back. So build that network of people.
Get to know them and be approachable.
And build trust. Build trust. With that, I'm going to
start to wrap up. I think you need to be approachable.
I think that same thing about don't speak ill of somebody
behind their back, because they don't know whether that's in your group, whether that's you. They're speaking about you behind their back when you're not there. And keeping an open door policy. And a small group grows. And the rule of thumb, small group should be about 68 people. I think if it grows to more than 6 to 8 people, then it's not a small group anymore. That's why we call it home group, because we don't have another person want to lead a second small group at our time, so they'll come to our house. So I think small groups need to be small, because you can get lost in the crowd much easier than not, and I think it has to be small as it is. And then I said, I'm just going to bring that slide back in again. Know your group. And that's get to know your group. That's knowing their birthdays, knowing their hobbies, their interests. Know what they're going through. And being there for them. And being personable. And being approachable. You're called into some sort of leadership here. You and your friend. You do it on your own. It's more difficult. Do it as a pair. You can bounce off that someone has come to me with this prayer request. Should I share it with the whole group or not? Don't just blurt it out there. That's why if you've got two people, you can at least blame it on each other.
Lastly, and I think most importantly, it has to be Jesus-centered. Otherwise, you're just a group of people that are having a chat about something. Jesus was, and is yet to come. And that is in your group. That has to be interwoven. Absolutely everything. He is the hope above everything else. And if you get bogged down in scripture, you've got to come back to Jesus. And that actually, the what you're doing this for is because I have this desire to know him more. And that if I don't know what this whatever means, or what this word, one single word means in this text, and the Greek means this, and it could mean this, and your head's blown. Maybe just a good time just to remember why you're there, and just to stop, to pray, and to close, and just let that sink in for a little bit. So my top tips, they're not exclusive. They're nothing new under the sun, but it is what I have seen work personally for me and around the place. So hopefully that gives you some ideas. The tagline, line in the sand, there's a little in brackets, how to run a small group and a committee. So that little bracket, committee meetings, right? So that's the bit I'm passionate about. Committee meetings I'm not so passionate about, but it's a little tagline. So I apologize if you're here because you want to know how to run a really good committee, then listen up, because I've got some amazing facts for you here. A committee meeting is an effective meeting that will only happen when the expectations of all who attend are clear. I've taken this from a website when I was in my car about half an hour ago,
because I forgot about it. May not necessarily be the person running the meeting, but no matter what your role must be, it must be clear on your responsibilities so that you can contribute as much as possible to that meeting process.
Wow, riveting stuff. Okay, we may have a committee, and we only started one in the last couple of years again, because the last time we had a committee, we had a load of seniors that wanted to get involved, and they did, and they came to the first meeting, and we said we're going to meet every month, and it's going to be in my room, and it's going to be the second half of lunch on a Thursday. And then the second week we had maybe two people didn't arrive, and then it became like two people. And then 2 years ago at Making Your Mark, the people who are not on the committee, because there's never been a committee since they were there, heard that this idea of presidents and vice presidents in SU, like, why do we not have a president? I want to be the president. So we now have a president and a vice president. And I wasn't there last year, but another teacher took committee. And the same thing happened. They got really excited about a committee and doing stuff, and they didn't do anything. So I think if you're going to get involved, you've got to have clear expectations that you have to get involved and stay involved. So if I was to give you any personal advice of my own frustrations, is if you're going to be involved in the committee, stay involved in it. Volunteer, to me, is someone that is prepared to volunteer and not complain about having to do work, not complain about having to go around junior SUs and announce. Define roles. I think there has to be a chairperson in that group. That is someone who plans and coordinates the meeting, manages the meeting process, facilitates the meeting, and contribute ideas. Wow. Again, this is from the one website. But you may be that person going, that is amazing. I really want to be a chairperson. I am a chairperson for a DST district support team for E3, which is Sarah at the minute. So I'm kind of our middle manager boss thing. And I didn't have a clue what a chairperson had to do. You have to do more than you think. It's not just a fancy title. You're getting all the stuff from different people, and you're having to collaborate all this stuff and facilitate the meeting and keep it going. You need a minute taker or a secretary, if that's your president, your vice president, if that's what you want to call it. Or we had Bible, we had Samuel and Peter and whatever, just biblical names to define different things. But that's what a minute taker will do. They are going to set the agenda, invite the agenda proposals, write up the agendas, blah, blah, blah. I know you are so excited about this as I am. Yes, and lastly, I'm sorry, is other roles you might find will be prayer, mission or outreach, treasurer, and junior rep. So you might decide in your committee you're going to bring in a new role of prayer, and you're going to be that person, and it's always been there. This is nothing new to you, so I have nothing new to give you. But there you go, it's a little tagline. So apologies if you've sat through all of how to run a small group and all you were looking for was a committee. There it is. Come speak to me at the end. I'll tell you the same thing again. But if you want to know about small groups, I purposely left 5 minutes before dinner. If you want to come up and ask me about any of the resources that I have, I'm talking about. Thank you so much. Apologies for me talking loads. It is dinner time. Oh, wow.